חיים, חיים.
חיים, חיים.
Very interesting what Rabbi Morozov said just now. Maybe we can just elaborate. This is what this mouth goes on. Look at the Hatamsis. What Rabbi Morozov said is something which is very negea to everyone's matzav. In every situation which a person finds himself. Okay, what was he saying? Okay. What was he saying as follows? He said, talking about the person. Okay, shh. First thing, if I bring it, it's formal. You know what formal means? We're all together. We're not not a speaker, a person speaking, saying a speech, and everyone is listening, and no one wants to listen anyways. We are, what's the word is?
Informal.
I'm sorry, it's informal. It's informal. If you want to talk, so then everyone has to hear what you're saying. Okay? So then we all did, hey. Siddush Vabrengen. What is the Siddush Vabrengen? Siddush. You know what the joke is? You're not in class now. What are you fucking around for? Okay? Means of Siddush Vabrengen is we're all discussing relative points. So anyways, let's go and a little bit talk about the story of Rabbi Morozov said. He says a story about the Baal Shem Tov's Chosid Talmud he wanted to see. Then the Sicha Sa'ifes and Sicha Sa'chayis. That's a tremendous Chochmah. So what happened was the Baal Shem Tov taught it to him. And can you imagine? A new world opened up before him. You know what it means, understanding the language of the animals, of the beast, of the field, of the fish, of the birds. Shloimeh HaMalach, he knew that. Says the other tzaddikim, the Arizal. Says about the Arizal Achai, Reb Chaya Vital writes, if you look in Kuntra Seitz Achayim, you all heard of the Sefer Kuntra Seitz Achayim from the Rebbe Rashab? At the back of that Sefer, it's Akdoma, Lishar Akdomas, whatever it is, I don't know exactly. And over there, it also brings down about the Chayim Vital, which he speaks about, Arizal Achai. Arizal Achai knew everything and learning. And he mentions also, Sichas Ha'ifes, Sichas Ha'chayis, he knew everything. So a new world opened up before this Talmud. A new world opened up before this Talmud. You can imagine what he can achieve. But what happened was, the Baal Shem Tov, what the Baal Shem Tov did was, he took it away from him. And he said, why? Because if you had to know this, then I would have taught it to you beforehand. If you have to know this, if it was an inyan which was nageya to you, then the Eibishter would have made that you would have had to know this. The only reason why the Baal Shem Tov told him then was to prove the point afterwards, after he took it away from him. Okay, so what's the pshat over here? What is the pshat? The pshat is as follows. Everything which Ayid has to do, what does Ayid have to do? Can anyone answer? What's your name? You in the back. Yeah. Achamendel Halevi Ash. Okay, I remember your bris. Follow my face. You were born your Aleph Nissan. You're Tchas Nissan. Your bris was your Tchas Nissan.
Correct. How are you born your Tchas Nissan?
Your Aleph Nissan.
No.
Yud.
No. Yes. Yes.
And what day was your bris?
It was
2 days
late.
Okay. It was 2 days later.
Same day as Mary's bris.
Okay, that's why you're called Menachem Mendel.
My birthday.
So what is the tachlis? No? Okay, so Menachem Mendel Halevi Ash. What is the tachlis? What is the avedah which a person has to do? Ayid has to do.
Teramitzvah.
Ayid has to do la'asis la'izbarech dira betachteinu. He has to make a dira betachteinu. So therefore, in order that a person should do all these inyanim, so therefore he's given all the kaychas which he has to do it. There is not one thing missing from him, from a yid, that he's unable to do in order to fulfill his shlichus. Do you all agree with what we're saying?
Yeah,
if you disagree, you can say so. You can voice your opinion. If a yid has a shlichus to be mekayim, make a dira la yizborach b'tachteinim, they put it, give an example. If a person is given a mission, and what is the mission is? The mission is you have to buy a car or something like that, yeah? The person who's telling you buy a car is giving you the means to buy it. So let's say if it costs $30,000, he's giving you $30,000. He's not going to tell you to buy a car without $30,000. If you have to do something, the person who is in charge and who's responsible is giving everything to you. Are you listening, Menachem Mendel Halevi Ash? Yeah? So therefore, if a yid has the tachlis akavona to make dira lo yizborach b'tachtonim, so therefore he is given all the means are at his disposal. You agree?
Correct.
Okay. We must come to this conclusion.
I disagree with you.
Yeah. Everyone agree. The only thing is, there is the klugim care. Menachem Mendel Halevi Ash. Keep your attention focused. There is the klugim care. And the Klugenker comes around and he says that you have to, he tries to dissuade the person from doing what he has to do. Like the marshal, the famous marshal, the king had a friend, but he wanted to do something very good to his friend. He said, you know what, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock till 4 o'clock, my warehouse, the treasure house, is going to be open for you. You can take all the treasures you want from 11 to 4, but at 4 o'clock, I'm going to close it. After the guy left, the king said, "Hey, what did I do? The guy's going to empty out the whole place. And what could I do? I mean, he's my friend. I want to give him. I give him some treasure. That was. I said the whole treasure house is open for him. How did I get such a crazy idea?" Anyways, what can you do? The king cannot go back on his word. Shh. No. What's your name?
Musician.
Huh?
Then, so we decided to get musicians.
No.
And then.
Yeah, okay, good.
Go. Good. Strong story.
So what happened? He had to look for an idea of how to stop it. He can't go back on his word. So he asked his advice from his advisors. And they said to him, "Let's do something to distract the person that this person should not be able, they shouldn't take away all your treasures." So they start thinking and they say, "What can we distract them? What does the person, what is he interested in?" So he said he likes music very much. They said, "Okay, let's get the best musicians, and the best musicians, they will come and play beautiful music. So this will distract the person. So therefore, the whole time he won't be busy emptying out all the treasures. He'll take some of the treasures, but you'll still have some treasures left." That's exactly what happened. 11 o'clock, the gates were open, and the guy comes and he has a whole lot of sacks. He's going to empty out the treasures. And when he's coming in, he hears the beautiful strains of music. And he becomes enchanted by the music. He says to himself, "I'll just listen for a second. For a minute, that's so beautiful. I have 5 hours to take the treasures." And in the meantime, he was so, as you say, in a trance, enchanted with the music. 5 hours later, he was still in the same spot, and the gates were closed.
Must be good music.
And he wakes up and he says, "Hey, what happened? It's too late." So this is the moshul of Yiridas on the Neshama Beguf. The Neshama comes down here into Naguf, and it has to take treasures. Except, Rebishtu made it. He made it. It was made like that. That the person has to be dissuaded, and he has to become enchanted by something which is beautiful, beautiful music. In order, why? Because this is, says it shouldn't be Nama the Sufa. What does Nama the Sufa mean?
Bread of shame.
Bread of shame means it comes free. It has to be through struggle. It has to be a test. There has to be a challenge that the person should overcome the challenge. And how does he overcome the challenge? By bringing out the inner resources which is in the individual yid. But as follows.
Just appearance.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I don't think Hashem made a mistake to allow us to come down to this world.
Who said he made a mistake?
No, he used the marshal. The guy let his servant take his
marshal. Okay. All the protein of the marshal are not based to happen to the ninja. Alright? Doesn't have to be exact. Now, so we came to this, the first conclusion. Ayid has to do is to make a dirala yisbarach betachtenim. So he has treasures. He has to take treasures. Ha'isa mitzvah achas. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Nu? Praklat echad. One mitzvah. The Rebbe once gave a beer. Why does it say ha'isa mitzvah achas? Even one mitzvah. How much more so of this? You do thousands of mitzvahs each day. So then you are collecting treasures. But then there's the kluginka. The kluginka. Who is the kluginka?
It's Horace Hashem.
He is very smart. He knows how to entangle the individual. He wants to ensnare. You know how it takes the... What's the word? Ensnare.
Ensnare.
How he takes the... you know, like in the spider's web, become entangled to come and to capture the individual. Excuse me, what's your name? You in the back. Huh? No, you, yeah? Huh? Aliyah David. Alev, you're also Alev.
Ben Yirmiyah.
Okay. So what did you want to say? We said, whatever you say has to be in public over here.
I was talking about how great you are.
How great I am? That was the Yitzhahara talking. You should be talking about how great I am. Huh?
Oh, so you're saying that you're great.
Oh, right now...
You said that we should be talking about...
You should be talking about it now.
Giving freedom of speech is here to talk.
Okay, you shouldn't be talking about it now. Why? Because right now we're discussing something else.
Oh, but you are correct.
That is irrelevant at the moment. And Yiddish is saying, as is Mishnah Geyer. Alright? Now, everyone... Rabbi Morozov, I hope you don't mind me where I'm covering you. Is that okay? It's we call it. It's
informal.
No, but it's not in the norm of a covering. If it's okay, I have to ask permission. If it's okay with you, it's not in the. It's alternate, an alternate way of covering. Not my son-in-law.
Gabi, I think the one that is for bringing, he has the right to pick the one for bringing back.
Okay, first let's finish what we're saying.
But buckle him in the back. Buckle him in the back. Ellie, Shmaya. It's totally not acceptable and disrespectful to act this way. Someone gives up his time. Ellie and Gabi. The purpose of Habrengen is obviously to change oneself. To change oneself. Now, if someone is sitting in the back and talking and listening with a half an ear, obviously it's not going to have an impact on him because it never registered in the first place. So Habrengen means not that you're coming for a social session, for some socializing. You're coming for a habrengen. Habrengen means that you sit and you listen and you're a mekabel. Mekabel, you're a receiver, you're ready to accept. A receiver is bottle. A receiver does not give out. Does not, is not a mashpia at that time. A receiver is a mekabel. He cannot take and give at the same time. The inyan in kashrus. I did a tarid lemiflat leibala, or I did a tarid lemivla leipala. Doesn't go together. If something is involved in absorbing, he does not. How is it absorbing? If he's absorbing within himself, he doesn't at the same time give out. If he is giving at the same time, he cannot absorb, take inside. So if he came to Vabrengen, the Chassidish Yid Vabrengen, You should be but you should be ready to receive. And if you talk, you can't receive. It's impossible. You cannot be mekabel. And take inside what the mashpi is giving. So therefore I ask you, you should please keep quiet. And first of all, listen. And second of all, do not disturb others that are trying to listen. Because if one person decides that he wants to crack a joke and he wants to talk, it's destroying the whole atmosphere, and he's disturbing others as well.
Okay, let's continue. So anyways, we're trying to understand the scenario, what we are dealing with over here. He said like this, that Eibishter gives every individual. And when we say that Eibishter gives every individual, we have to clarify it. There are different individuals in the world, there are different people in the world. There are some people, like it says in this week, said that Yesh Oresh Migadalas Gibirim Chaloshim, Chachamim, V'tifshim. Each place has its people. Each place has its situation. But if every individual, if each individual has this mission of to make a dira lo yisbarach b'tachteinim, so as Rabbi Morozov said at the beginning, if he is in that situation, which that means every single Yid is in that situation, he has all the keichas and all the potential to be able to do it. The only thing is, there's the klugimka. Klugimka comes to the person, each person to his level. Says the Yetzahara is umon bimlachtei. He is a master. He's a master, talented, a craftsman. He is able to talk the person into everything and give him all explanations in order that he should not fulfill the tachas hakavona of yiridas neshmasei ba'al madein. But the one guy, he says to him, who are you? You are nothing. Look at the other guy. Look at your friend. Let's put it down to practice. Let's see. Bachrim in yeshiva. You're all in yeshiva, yeah?
No.
Even though some of you might not want to be in yeshiva, but the fellow mamash you are in yeshiva. If it's by force, so it's not by force. Now, in yeshiva, what is the tachlis? Hakavana, and what is the purpose of being in yeshiva? Being in yeshiva is that you have to learn basmodu shkida. That is the main job of a person, like a person has a job. If a person has a job, that he's a manufacturer. And he has to have a quota each day that he has to manufacture a certain amount of material. So he has his job from 9 to 5. He knows no kums and he has to do his job. If he doesn't do his job, so then his paycheck is a bit less. So whatever the story is, okay? What is the job of a yeshiva bacha? Let's look at it that way as a job. He has to learn. Boys in the back. No. Now, if he has to learn Torah and he has to learn Bas Modu Shkida, that means he's given all the resources and all the kaychas which there is faran in existence, he's giving in it. Now comes the Yetzahara, the Klugimka, who's a Umm bin Lachtai, and he comes to each one and to his level. The one bacha is going to come around and say as follows. Look, I have a dumb head. I can't do it. I can't understand it. Another guy is going to say, I haven't got the zitzflesh, I haven't got the patience. One person says, I can't understand this, I can't understand that. Then another person will come and say, to most of the people will come and say, listen, the Maggid Shia doesn't give a good Shia, he doesn't know how to explain properly. Yeah, that's common. Another guy says, the Mashvi is no good. This guy says, to every individual he comes to his own thing. There's common things which by all yeshiva bathrooms. They don't like the Hanhola. The Hanhola is not good enough. Could be it's true. They say a story in Lubavitch. I don't know if the story is true. I heard there's a story in Piashmur. Where's Menachem Mendel Alevi Ash? What happened? Why did I thought you were sitting over here?
I'm chilling with Kanye.
Huh?
I'm chilling.
Well, you shouldn't be.
Look, it's that, on my ass.
That's
your,
who's Kanye? The baby? who's Kanye? Where's Kanye? come and sit over here.
You just told me he's not a baby and he's going
to
be a baby.
No, Menachem Mendel Halevi Ash, come and sit over here. No?
Kanye.
As I said, if anyone has anything to say, you disagree what we are saying, you can all hear it, discuss it together. Alright, now, common thing in Lubavitch, there was a story that he was saying that once the Anhola saw a few bottom talking with each other. So they said, well, it must have been not during Seder, I suppose, yeah? What were they talking to each other? So they said, most probably, they're talking about Anhola. What else would talk? What's the Devarim B'Telem of Bochram? They're talking about Anhola. So they said, they were part of the Anhola. They said, what do they know about the Anhola? What do they know of the extremeness of the Anhola? They don't hardly know anything. The Anhola, they really know what's wrong with them. But this is the common practice amongst all Bochrim, that they will talk about Anhola. And it could be that there's a lot of truth in it. Maybe there is, whatever it is. You know the whole story in Lubavitch, printed by the Friedrich Rebbe, that once the Ultra Bochrim came over to the Friedrich Rebbe, who was a Menahel Poel. Now, Pearl means he was acting director, and they said that maybe why should they be so under the jurisdiction of the Anhola? Maybe they should give some advice. Maybe they should get them in to be part of the Anhola, and they'd be able to give some advice. Whatever it is, we don't like to dislike that. So anyways, the Friedrich Rebbe went into the Rebbe Rashab, to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe was the Menahel, and everything, you know, had to go through the Rebbe. But the Rebbe said, at this and this time, let them come in, at this and this day, and this and this time. So the Friedrich Rebbe told the Bochrim that they come in, and they were all very happy. Now the Rebbe is going to hear their highness, and they'll hear their highness, and maybe, you know, something will be worked out. Anyways, they came. And I was ahead of the time, so then afterwards, I don't know exactly the Lashon, maybe Rabbi Marozov will remember the Lashon, he should have said that the certain behemoths which are lazy, they had to call Pesach the Balagola. Pesach the Balagola, in Lubavitch it was called Pesach the Balagola.
His name is Pesach. Pesach Kabir.
And he said, you have to get the whip of Pesach the Balagola when he has to shmeis the first to go on. That's what he said, that's what the Bachman said. Now what does it mean? It means to say like this. You think the Tainists weren't right. The Tainists are right! Except anything which stops a Yid from doing Tachlis Yiridas Anishmosei Baal Medein, it comes from the Yitzhar. The Tainists are right! But the Tainists are there in order to distract the person, to give him an excuse. I'm not to learn and not to do what he has to do. In the early years, there's letters of the Rebbe. I think they were Bochum, either in Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is, on the road to the Rebbe. that they want to leave the yeshiva, go to another yeshiva. It's okay. So then, in one of the letters, I don't know if it's in Igris Kedish, which is in Devar Malach, but I think that these letters, they should be read all bochum, mandatory. They should read these letters. All letters to yeshiva bochum, all bochum must read them. Okay? Have our tzor to the Anhola, places to Bismanal, Siddhis, Nicholas, the Zolbazak, whatever it is. So it's from the Brivim for Rebbe. They should all get copies of these letters. So the Rebbe writes in one of the letters, I'm writing this to you, but this is the answer to all the other Bochum also, which they wrote the same question, and you should publicize it. The Yitzhahara is a Umim B'Malachtei. So the Yitzhahara wants the person not to do what he's doing. So he says to the person, he's not going to tell the person, stop learning. Because it says the Yetzirah comes to a person, today he tells you to do this, to do a mitzvah, to do a greater thing. Do this. What goes next? He's trying to talk the person in, to ensure the person to go against what he's doing, but he's mislavish in a itzala shal yira shamayim. So therefore, when these bachrim says they want to go to another yeshiva, which may be in that yeshiva, and it could be it was right.
I really love this thing. Come here.
And the other yeshiva could be there was a better mashpia, or there was a better anhola, or there was a better seida, whatever it is. And could be it's right. The Rebbe said like this, this is atzas ayetza, to stop the person from learning. The Yetzer is not going to tell you stop learning. You're not going to listen to the Yetzer. The Yetzer tries to be mislavish in a itzla. You know what means an itzla and a garment of Yerushalayim. So the Yetzer tells the person, you go to another yeshiva, that will be better for you. You'll be able to learn with more asmoda. You mean of the Shem Shemayim. But, in the meantime, the first thing is, you don't have to learn now. Because you have to think about going to the other yeshiva. Okay, so therefore right now you're stopping to learn. That's the Yetzirah. You saw the Hayyim Yem of yesterday. What was it? Yesterday?
Today.
Today's Hayyim Yem.
Yeah.
About the Siddush Yetzirah?
Yes.
Today's Hayyim
Yem. The Rebbe uses it on many occasions.
You know this story of the Yetzirah, of the Hayyim Yem, but it comes, I think it's a whole continuation of a story. This is what the Rebbe Maharash told to the Rebbe Rashab.
That's our first one,
you know who the Rebbe Rashab was?
Oh, no, tell us.
The Rebbe Rashab, it says by the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe Maharash said by him, as Kemul Nishkeven King Kind. He was never a child. You learned Kuntres Chanei Chonar, you learned the Akdam of Kuntres Chanei, you know there's such a thing called Kuntres Chanei Chonar. You learned the Akdam of Kuntres Chanei Chonar that the Rebbe Rashab was davening when he was how old? 15 years old, and he didn't notice that blood was coming down, and the Rebbe Maharash put his hand on his nose till the blood stopped, and the Rebbe Rashab didn't notice it the whole time. When the Rebbe Rashab was 13 years old before the Bar Mitzvah, what was the story? He asked his father, Wie soll sein gelernt, also soll sein gelernt. So he says, you have to learn Shulchan Aruch, all those halachas which are negeya, and you have to teach your body to do everything what Shulchan Aruch says. So from then on, from the age of his Bar Mitzvah, everything which had to be done according to halacha, automatically he did it. It was impossible for do something which is not according to the hiddur of halacha. Now the whole story about we washed three times. Yeah? Amalek and Titan, they didn't wash. According to halacha, you can wash once or two. Even nowadays, there's still a lot of people should only wash twice. According to halacha, you wash twice. You wash once and then the second time to pour out the non-Tersical waters. It says the whole story started in the time of the Rebbe Rashab, that they saw that the Rebbe Rashab washed three times. And then it's in the Sikhas of the Friedrich Rebbe that they asked him, where's the mocha from it? So he says, in the meantime, I don't remember. But if I am doing it, there must be a mocha. And he said, the story of what Rabbi Maharash told him when he was 13 years old, that means, can you imagine that? From 13 years old, everything which he did was according, like it says, binafshe kora, automatically. Automatically, his goof did everything what Torah said. There's a story about Rabbi Rashab, once he noticed, this is later on when he was in the seas, he noticed he wasn't hearing on one ear. Excuse me. You in the back. You're listening?
Alright.
Huh?
It's been actually Kara.
But it says, by Maidim, you do Maidim. So it says that, or where's the Sifra Gemara? No, what's the Gansi Gemara? Alright, that means that automatically, you know, we do it also. Automatically, when we're up to Maidim, even though we're not thinking about Pirush HaMilas, but automatically we bow down by Maidim, okay? That means automatically the person does it. Says that Rebbe Rashab once he noticed he wasn't listening on one ear. What's the problem? He can't hear on one ear. Why is that? Then after he remembered that a few weeks ago he was saying a maimer, and in the other room there was noise and it was disturbing him. So he didn't want to be disturbed. So he switched off the power of hearing on that ear. And what happened? He must have forgotten to put it back on. Yeah, so he remained like that. He couldn't hear on one. So he was a balabas on his goof, on his whole body. Amar kavul alekus. Huh? But anyways, we're saying that the Rebbe Rashab, when he spoke, when was the Stop Rishlamad Hey? When he said the story to Rebbe Marash, the story was like this. I think it's the Hemshah of the story. It says like this. The Rebbe Marash used to say a maimer Friday night. Like the Rabbeim used to be the custom to say a maimer every Friday night. So it so happened that there was one maimer of that week that the Rebbe Rashab could be was not misatzim. You know misatzim? How do you translate misatzim? He didn't become one with that maimer. So therefore he was horoving. You know what it means by a Rebbe learning another Rebbe's maimer? It's something that's beyond understanding. You mean horoving? You know what it means? Horoving, toiling. They tried to grasp that maimer. And it still, it didn't, whatever it is. When it came the next Friday night, so then the Rebbe Marash said another maimer. So, Rebbe Rashab was still involved with the maimer of the previous week. So he could not
grasp the next week's.
Not only he could not grasp, he could not concentrate, he could not give himself over to the maimer of that day. So when he went into Rebbe Marash and Yechidus, I don't know, it was exactly connected to that and whatever it is. So the Rebbe Marash told him like this. Whatever a Yid has to do at this time, that is his shlichus, that's what he has to do. And anything which is contrary to that what he has to do at that moment, how good it is and how great it is, comes from the Yetzer Hara. This week there was a new maimer. So right now he has to go and study on the new maimer. The other maimer, okay. But right now he has to study. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what this means? What was his problem? His problem was, he was having torture. He was pushed, tortured. It says out there, Al-Nosh Ha'atlev says about this, that when the Rebbe Rashab was saying over the story to the Friedrich Rebbe, you can see how on his face he was reliving this his torturous experience. Like a person went through a tremendous trouble, tremendous hurdle. So the thing is like this. When they gave a bachrim in yeshiva, everyone has this tafkid. But there is the umen shavim lachtai, when she tries to do everything to dissuade the person, and the woman shebimlachta the Yetzirah clothes herself into different, as said, it can clothe itself even into the garb of the mashpia, of the Rosh Yeshiva, the mashkiach. He's not a good mashkiach, he's not a good Rosh Yeshiva, whatever it is. If it stops that person from doing what he has to do, let us see Yetzirah. This week's Sedra says, Shlach Lecho Anoshim Yasura Saretz Knaan. Yeah, what does Rashi say? Shlach Lecho Ledaito. No, no, I can fool myself. It's okay, no, it's okay. I can fool myself. Shlach Lecho Ledaito. There's different sikhs what the Rebbe says. In one year, the Rebbe asked a question like this. Says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to send Meraglim? Is everything a joke?
No.
Is life one big joke?
No.
I think, you know it isn't. But you know it isn't, but you don't want to accept the fact that life isn't a joke.
I don't think that made sense.
It does make sense. I'll explain it. Everyone knows that life is not a joke. But for some people, in order to accept the fact that life's not a joke, it's too much to handle. So therefore they make a joke out of it. Did you understand what I said?
I'm making a joke out of it. You're not talking to me, you're talking in general.
Talking in general, yeah. So what does Rashi say? Shah. Rashi says like this, Shlach lecho ledaitcha ani eni mitzavloch. The Rebbe says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am not commanding you to send meraglim. If you want to, you can send it. I told them, Tevor is made ma'id. The land is very good. So why do you need to send meraglim? But if you want to, I give you my askama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiskim al yad. Rebbe asks a question, a very simple, obvious question. What's the question? The question is, if Moshe Rabbeinu hears from the Rebbe Shter, who's there in the back? Over there. Can we see you? Okay. If the Moshe Rabbeinu hears from the Rebbe Shter, knows that the Rebbe Shter says miracle, it's not good. So if that's the case, why does Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, if you want, I'll send it to you. What do you mean, if you want to, I'm going to let you send it? If Moshe Rabbeinu hears from the Rebbe Shter, he doesn't want them to send Meraglim, so why does Moshe Rabbeinu send Meraglim? Moshe Rabbeinu should have told him, he didn't know. The Rebbe Shter doesn't want you to send Meraglim. What are you saying, the people wanted to send Meraglim? So just because the people wanted it? That was the time of Shaul HaMelech, when Shmuel, the Navi, came to him. He said, Akimbasis, the Baal Hashem, did you do what the Rebbe Shter wanted you? No, Shaul asked Shmuel, yeah, you know the famous Akhtayra before Purim Pasha Zakha? He was meant to kill out Amalek. And what happened was he left the animals. So Shmuel says, Ma kill Atzayim. So he says, because the people wanted to take Karbanis. He listened to what the people said. A Jewish leader does not listen to what the people say. The people do not control the leader. The leader has to lead the people. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say, the people wanted it, so I'm giving in to the people. Moshe Rabbeinu only did the words of Hashem. So what's the pshat? If the Rebbe Shter didn't want it, so why did he send Meraglim? Huh? What do you mean had a choice? Okay. There's a lot of explanations. The Rebbe gives one explanation. He says like this. When Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, he did not send the Meraglim with the intention to search out the land to see if the land is good, to see if the land is able to be conquered. That wasn't the intention of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rebbeinu said, Teva ha'aretz ma'id ma'id, the land is good. If the Rebbeinu says the land is good, there's no question.
What's the seed of Esri?
Oh. Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim to see how to conquer the land.
Hell.
Not if you can conquer it. If you can't conquer it, I know for sure you can. The only thing is, you're using the natural means and the natural ways, which is the best path to go through. That is okay, that you're allowed to. And the Rebbe was saying that every Yid has to know, in his life he has to conquer Eretz Yisrael. So he has to know the fundamental principle.
That's
true. No, beforehand. The fundamental principle he has to know, Olay Nala Viarashnu Esa. A Yid has to know that in everything what he is doing, the same thing applies to Yeshiva Bocha. A Yid, let's look, talk bluntly. A Yid has to know in everything what he's doing, he has to know, Olay Nala Viarashnu Esa. You can do it.
You can do it.
The only thing is, you can look for means of how to do it the best way. Bocher in Yeshiva, when he wakes up in the morning, and he wakes up on the left side.
Right side.
Huh? So then they say, go back to sleep and wake up on the right side. Okay? When a bocher in yeshiva or any person is not in the mood to do what he has to do, he has to psych himself in. He has to say, in every Indian I am able to do it. Because this is the command of the Rebishtan, he's given the Kaychas. He can look for means and ways of how to do it. For instance, if a person thinks, in order for him to learn better, maybe he can talk to his Mashbiyah and his Mashkiach and the Rosh Yeshiva, and they can give some examples. Maybe in order to make the shir a bit interesting, maybe we should learn it in this way. There's nothing wrong with that. If he's coming and say that the, like in our class, when we were in school, so there used to be...
School? Yeshiva.
In yeshiva, in school, the teacher used to say, everyone's complaining, he couldn't speak English properly, he used to say. There's a... Das is boring. He couldn't say boring. Das is boring, and das is boring. So someone said, maybe you should learn something else, and if you learn something else, then also be boring. Maybe you should learn philosophy. What, you want me to teach philosophy? What is philosophy? Das is boring, and das is boring, and das is boring. And this is no good, and this is no good, and this is not good. All that is excuse. You can come with, it's called constructive criticism. Okay, nowadays, since we're living in a democratic society, there's such a thing called, nowadays, Talmud HaMachkim Es Rabbi. You know, Talmud HaMachkim, you come, you have to have a Derech Eretz, of course, because that's proper. Aibs is in the Richter Gebeg. That is Mekabel that also can come. Comes the game, maybe, because if it's done for the purpose of enhancing, not for as an excuse.
Constructive.
It's an excuse not to do what we have to do. So then it's okay. If you say that maybe we should do this, we should do that, this or that. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. Whatever it is. It was here. If you know, last week there was a story in New York. Someone passed away. You know, the Engel brothers over here. Their father passed away. He was not so old. He was a young man. He was once in Australia many years ago. He came to Australia about 40 years ago. He came to Australia. He was in Australia for a number of years. And he was in Chabad Youth. It was called Sach in those days. Actually, he brought very Chassidish ideas into the first time in Australia could hear such Chassidish ideas. He brought very Chassidish ideas. But anyways, in the first speech, I remember he gave. So he said as follows, he was saying about, it was the year of Hakel, and Hakel means all the Edens, we have to gather all the Edens together. So then he talked Americanish. So he says, you think you can't, but really you can. You only think you can't. A person thinks he can't, but really you can. That's the story of whom? The story of the Magid. Who is it? Talmidei al-Magid. They said they can't. What's the Maisa with the third? They can't. What was the Maisa? Whatever it is. Once the Alter Rebbe, I think whatever it is, he was on his way home from his reach. Huh? The wagon got stuck and they said they can't take it out. So who was it? The Balagola said? You think you can't, but really you can. That's what we have to say. You see, it's all a joke. You know, we can laugh about it. You know why? Because the truth hurts. All this is a joke. You can laugh about it. The question is, the tendency of individuals is that they want to run away from the truth. They want to run away from themselves. They don't want to face up to the true facts. So it's all a joke. When it comes to the bottom line, if a person asks himself a question, is this true, yes or no? So he knows deep down it's true. But the only thing is, it's too hard for him to accept it. It's very hard to accept it. You hear this, Nacham Mendel Halevi Ash. It's very hard to accept it. Huh? It's too late? Oh, we have to stop our wagon? Huh? It's hard to accept it. So what does the person have to do is, he has to psych himself in that, listen, don't be afraid of anyone, I have to be honest to myself. Is it true or is it not true? What happens if a person becomes serious and all his friends are going to laugh at him? He became serious all of a sudden. Became serious. Started to learn. Weren't Amasmid, Mithamol. He became Amasmid. I once read a book, it's a children's book like this. There was a kid, he used to muck around the whole time. He used to act like a clown. And all the kids and all the friends used to laugh at him. And they said, come, play for us, and this and that. And he was so proud of himself. He was so proud of himself that all his friends are looking at him, he's actually so clever. He can act like a clown. Anyways, one day people were talking to him and they said, you know what, do you think all your friends which are enjoying your antiques and all your tricks and everything like that, you think they really think you're clever? You think they respect you, they hold of you? They're just laughing at you. That's it. They're enjoying themselves and they're making fun of you. You think you're clever that you're acting like a clown. He says, if you really want to that people should respect you, or you want to that... So then, if you do the right thing, anyway, so he decided, okay, he's going to behave himself. He won't make himself a shiga. He started being, you know, a good boy. And the next day at recess time, all the kids come to him, noop, act like a clown. He doesn't listen to them. Of course, the first day, you know, they're like, hey, what's up with you? The second day, the third day, they think, enough. They stop bothering him. They see he's a different person. They start respecting him. Anyways, after a few months, he said where the end of the story is, he said that the principal came and he had to have someone to show around the important guests. He asked the teacher. The little book. Who is this? Who is a very responsible boy in your class? The teacher says, this boy over here. He's responsible. He's a very responsible boy. What's the moral of the story? Moral of the story is, if a person laughs, he jokes, people are laughing at him, so it's very good for a few seconds. Really, the people don't respect it, whoever it is just laughing like that. Sometimes it's harder. If you want to gain respect or you want to accomplish something, it's much harder doing it the right way. Oh. It might be harder at the beginning. A person has to change his antics. Let's say he's a class clown, and all of a sudden he's going to stop being the class clown, so he'll become Eis Miuchas. What's going to be? It won't be anything. And then he'll change, whatever it is. Okay? So maybe the first 3 days it will be hard. The first 3 days the people say, hey, come on, we need to have your antiques or whatever. And after a few days they'll stop talking about it, whatever it is, and like that, and whatever the story, they'll forget about it. So what did I want to say like this? I wanted to say, what were we talking about? Ayid asno ole nala v'yarash nois. Okay, now. Bad? There's no room for construction. That's one of your complaints.
No, we have one of the best.
Oh, you have everything the best, or then it's the bad of you. Okay? If you have the best on Hola, then certainly you have no problem. And if you have criticism, it's also no problem if you do it in the right way. Okay? Because no one is perfect, and you can discuss it in the right way, okay? Alright. Now it says that you have to tell Rav Morozov when we should finish, okay?
Are you serious?
Okay? So what time is it now? What time is it now? Alright, no, I'll finish. Give me another 10 minutes and then we'll finish. No, if you sing a nigga and then start again. I'll finish in 10 minutes. I can't wait. No, I'm sorry, I can't wait.
Rabbi, you got those man Krishmas. You got those man Krishmas.
Krishma for what? Well, you have to ask the shoes from the Hanhola.
We've got until Man Krishna,
the whole night. No, but who says the Hanhola gives you the shoes? Whatever. Okay, now. This is a very important. I like that story very much. That story in the children's book. Sometimes we should read stories in the children's book. We read stories in the children's book. Whoa. Yeah, Manishma. Sure, this thing. Set a point before and sometimes you know Khajman Anafish Aliba the Nafshe means each person in his level to make a Khajman Anafish. Khajman Anafish Aliba the Nafshe doesn't mean the grace of Madregas. I heard from the great Chosid. It was a very great Chosid. You heard of him, Rav Nissen Nemenov. You ever heard of him?
Yeah,
he was an individual which constantly was working on himself, Kabbalah Soil. Kabbalah Soil, do you know what that means?
Yes.
Kabbalah Soil is a very difficult task. But if you don't think the whole time that you have to have Kabbalah Soil, and you just have it, it's much easier. You understand? If you think you have to have Kabbalah soil, so you think you're going to have a miserable, tortured life. If you don't think that you're having it, you just do it, because that's life, so it's a bit easier. Anyways, he said like this, that nowadays, we're not talking about great chassidim, that they're great madregas and aveda. Nowadays what we're talking about is each little thing what you do. If a person he dabbles with a little bit more kavana, and he does whatever it is, he learns with a bit more kavana, whatever it is, any little thing what he does, this is the Aveda nowadays. You hear this? This is the Aveda for all of us, Aveda for you, from Bokrim and Yeshiva, whatever it is. Each person he does something extra a little bit, not grace of gdulas and flies, a person thinks. Gdulas and flies, we're not shaykh to it, we're taka not shaykh to it. But, each individual to his level, one little bit, it doesn't have to be grace of zachen. Person is going to say, I'm going to become a maspid overnight, whatever we're talking about. If a person knows that he has to learn a certain zman and a certain amount of time, and he maybe has nobody studying, so if he's a bit more serious with that, that small little thing, that's an achievement. Sometimes, and a lot of times, one of the biggest problems by Bochrim is they think if they have to know everything, all the inyonim, let's say the learning a certain sugi, if they have to know everything all on their path, whatever it is, they think it's too much, and they become disillusioned by it, that sometimes distracts them. If they learn al haseida, on that inyon what they're learning, let's say they learn the line of Gemara with Rashi, first understand that simply, then afterwards they'll go to the next step, to the chasers, to the mafoshim, they won't think of everything all at once. So this, a lot of times, can ease the situation. A person has a problem in yeshiva. I know I had the problem myself in yeshiva. If you look and you're learning, and you think the whole day, at the beginning in the morning, you're thinking of the whole day, you're going to have to be kvetching a bank. You know what kvetching a bank means? You have to sit in shokel. You think already the whole day you're doing this, it's torturous. So therefore already from the start, you're already disillusioned, you're already despondent. So here what we have is the two things we spoke about. There has to be Ole Nalavi Rashtu Isa. Ayid has to know that he can conquer it. At the same time, he uses our different means of helping him do it. If he doesn't think, Buzzy, if he doesn't think, the morning when he wakes up...
I know a lot of people don't think.
No, you're meant to think, but you don't think in this direction. If he doesn't think that the whole day he's going to sit and question a bank, but if he thinks only, I'll take each 5 minutes at a time. I won't think about what's going to be the next hour. And he can psych himself to concentrate on this 5 minutes. 5 minutes, this half hour, this hour. What's going to be next? I'll worry about it when the time comes. So that can ease the situation. That means he's looking for means and ways of how to help him to be able to carry out this taklas hakavanah. Then there's another thing which says in this week's Sadra. Something which is very crucial. Something which is very pertinent. Did you learn Perech Haftes and Tanya?
Yeah, last
year. Perech Haftes and Tanya is a tremendous Perech. Did you learn Perech Keach and Tanya?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, let's say Lachaim.
No, we did.
I deal with Perech Keach and Tanya every day. What does it say in Perech Keach and Tanya? That if a person is davening and he can't concentrate on his davening, then it doesn't only mean davening, it means the same thing, learning. The person is learning. Buzzy! Hey, Buzzy! If a person is learning and he can't concentrate on his learning, so then he can feel depressed or despondent or disillusioned, and he thinks that maybe if he would be learning properly, then he wouldn't have had these mashavas or whatever it is. Comes the Tanya Kaddish and says, no! That when the Mashava Zara comes down, it is because he wasn't davening properly. This would only be if what? What does he say in Tanya? Only one nefesh. Here there's two nefeshes, and each one is strangling each other. So the only thing is what you have to do. You have to totally ignore it. The Eitz Hara is pounding upon you the whole time and is banging into you and not letting you concentrate. So you have to know this is the Eitz Hara. And the only thing is what you have to do is ignore it. Sometimes in the middle of Shemin Esrei, it happens to me, but it happens to you. So I think I'm a Shavu Zoros. Think about this. You work something out. So, wait a second. Should I stop for a minute and think it's means in the middle. You're coming to the conclusion. What is you trying to work out something? Whatever it is, you're trying to work out something. Middle davening. So should you finish thinking the machshava? Take another second. One more second. And then you'll finish. And then you'll be able to daven out with great kavanah. Does Tanya Kadisha know? At that moment! At that moment when you're thinking you stop, it's going to bother you. It's going to bother you for a second, but then afterwards it'll dissipate. What's the word?
Dissipate.
I wanted to say a perich of test here. Pass me the lemonade, please. The Sprite. What does it say in Perich of Tess of Tanya? In Perich of Tess of Tanya, this is tremendous. This is a lifesaver. Perich of Tess in Tanya is a lifesaver. It can save your life. Huh? No, that's Perich Lama.
That's Perich
of Tess. Perich of Tess in Tanya, it says like this. It brings about the story of the Meraglim. In the story of the Meraglim, he says like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu screamed at the Eden after they complained about Midrash Zayitam of Hashem Yemusu. And what does it say afterwards? What did the Eden say? We are going to go up. They changed their mind. So the Tanya asked, why did they change their mind? Moshe Rabbeinu and Shari Oysa Moises. First, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that Hashem can conquer Eretz Yisrael. And then afterwards, all of a sudden, they changed their mind and started going. So what does he say in Tanya? This is a fundamental principle. He says in Tanya like this, Sayyid has to know. Every Yid has to know that every Yid is Ma'aminim b'nei Ma'aminim. Every Yid is Ma'aminim b'nei Ma'aminim means that he believes in Hashem. And not only that, it doesn't, could be we can explain, it doesn't only mean he's believing. It means every Yid has the kaychus to do the right thing. Except, I'm finishing in 3 minutes. Except, what happens is the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, which the Eibishter gave Rishus, like Bia Aspekanesha, becomes so big, you know, like a balloon which you blow up. It's so big, and the Kiv has Rishus to be master, to conceal what you have to do. So the only way of conquering the Yetzer Hara is what? What does it say there? You have to scream on the Eitzara after Rosh Hashanah, Meshukitz, Mesuv, Menuvel, Kechol Hashem, Meshukol, and Chachamein, Zal, Behemes. You know that? A lot of people know these lines in Tanya, because when they talk to the other person, after Rosh Hashanah, Meshukitz, Mesuv, Menuvel, Kechol Hashem, Meshukol, and Chachamein, Zal, Behemes. Yeah, it's familiar to you? You scream at the Eitzara, after Rosh Hashanah, Meshukitz, Mesuv, Menuvel, Kechol Hashem, Meshukol, and Atmosi, at the Tasma, Fon, Aherin, Seth, Baruch. How long are you going to be master of the Baruch Hu? Says, once you scream at the Yetzer Hara, it vanishes. You know, like you have a balloon, take a prick, take this fork, and give a prick, and the balloon bursts. That is all problems in life. Everything which a Yid has in life, which is stopping him, it's all the Yetzer Hara. Rebbe is saying the whole time, it's, and the Yetzer Hara, it's boggling, it's bounding down upon you. It's coming and it's caving into you. You can't get out of it. The only way to get out of it is what? You ignore it. Or else, like it says in Perekhev and Tanya, what does it say at the end? That if it's so strong, the Efshal Asirim, you cry out, Hashem, to have rachmanis on you. If a person has a problem in the middle of Seder Yeshiva, and he's unable to concentrate, he's unable to learn, he has to know it's the Yetzer Hara. So he has to know the first thing, so we're able to do it. You think you can't, but really you can. Has a problem. He has to scream out at the Yetzer Hara. What was the story of Avraham Avinu? He went to the Akedah. In the middle of the way there was a river. What did Avraham Avinu do? He jumped into the river and I didn't run away. He went till it came up to his neck. He couldn't go any further. Then he cried out, he did all what he could. He couldn't go further, so he cried out to Hashem, and then the water is dissipated. What's the word?
Dissipated.
And it went away. You know, Avraham Avinu had a tremendous nisayon of the Akedah. It wasn't so easy as you think it is, you know. Even though we said every day in davening, "Vayhi achar hadvarim," you can't imagine the Avraham Avinu. He had a million questions. He had Avraham, you know, one was the biggest nisayon of the Akedah. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, "Kibi yitzchak yichar olaz chazara." Avraham Avinu knew that the tachlis habriya sa'ilam, the tachlis hakavona. You know, you heard the word the tachlis siddush habachal. No, what's the tachlis hakavona? The tachlis hakavona was bereishis b'shul yisrael shenikra reishis. The whole tachlis hakavona was in order that Yitzchok should be born. This should be the Jewish people. Comes the Rebbe and he says, "Kachlas bin chasichidcha, take your son and bring him on the Akedah, and there won't be any more Jewish people." That means the whole tachlis hakavona from Bria Sa'elam is being forfeited. It's finished. So Avraham Avinu could have said to Hashem, "Excuse me, with all due respect, you must be mistaken. Either the Rebbe made a mistake, or else maybe I heard wrong. I heard wrong. That's the tachlis. The tachlis hakavona is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is no more." And there's no content, there's no future of the Jewish people. So what's happening here? Should Avraham Avinu should have listened to Hashem? He should have been Talmud Hamachim Mesrabim. He should have said to the Rebbe, "I'm sorry, I don't think you know what you're talking about." The Moshe Rabbeinu, this week said, I don't know if Eshes Abob and Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu argued with Hashem. Hashem wanted to destroy the Jews, but that's something else. Whenever there's a Tzorah on Yidin, so then the leader of the Jewish people, he goes and he cries out to Hashem to save the Jewish people. But over here it seems that Avraham Avinu didn't say anything to Hashem. Kachmas binchas yichidcha asher ahavtes Yitzchok. There won't be any future of the Jewish people. Avraham Avinu had a tremendous nisoyin of Akedah. That's one of the biggest problems Avraham Avinu had. There was other problems. Avraham Avinu taught the whole world that was serving idols. Avraham Avinu mustad echem eber echem kol eilam sheni on the other side, and they used to bring human sacrifices. And Avraham Avinu was telling them, "That's not what you should do. Hashem despises human sacrifices." And what does he do? He himself takes his only son. He would be the laughing stock of the whole universe. They would all laugh at him. "Look what you're doing." Avraham Avinu didn't ask any questions. But then Bishas the Akedah at the same time. There's the whole story. Why did it take 3 days? 3 days, Layla Arabe Pisaim, you shouldn't take him. All of a sudden, the person does things. Say, jump off the roof. He doesn't think and he jumps off the roof. He had 3 days. And these 3 days, the Sultan tried to entangle him the whole time. For 3 days, don't stop. Avraham Avinu withstood the Akedah. And since today, we are reaping the rewards of the Akedah of this reward. So this is the same thing with everything. When a Yid has a test, we all have our test. This is an order, Kimenasa Hashem Kechem, an order to enhance us, that we should bring out our inner resources, our inner Kechas, because we have these inner Kechas. You know the story that was meant to finish. Okay, give me another 5 minutes. There's a story, a famous story, that the Rebbe, someone came to the Rebbe at Dollars, and he has a tremendous problem, what he wants to marry out, Rachmanosan. You heard that story? What did the Rebbe say to him? "I am jealous of you." So what does he mean, "I am envy you"? So what do you mean, "envy you"? He said, "I never had this problem. If you have this problem, that means the Rebbe granted you with such great keichas, with such great strength, that you're able to overcome it. I'm jealous of you that you have so much keichas." We all have these keichas, we all have these strengths. So the Rebbe should help. Where's the mashik lesson? That yifol bi ba'ashem, and all the things which I'm saying today. The reason a lady asked me yesterday, what am I going to talk about today? So I said, I can only talk about what's negeya to me. Levi is my nephew. He said, "You should talk about learning and everything." I said, "Learning, I don't know anything about it. I know about Inyan of Iskafya." Why? Because I am, not that I promise Iskafya, but I am involved with that the whole day. Because the whole day I have my Yitzhahara banging down on me in every single thing what I'm doing. So I'm illumined in this Inyan. The whole time I know everything that I do, if I do anything right, which is Alpines, whatever it is. So then, what a victory over the Yetzer Hara. So therefore, a person can talk about what is Negev. The Rebbe should say, "Oh, beautiful be by Hashemim, that we should all use out the inner resources, the inner strength. You should know that we have to gather treasures to make a Adir Allah Yisbarach v'tachteinim. And anything which stops from this inyan, how great it is, even if you are right, and even if you have highness to Yedekas. But if it's stopping you from doing what you have to do, then it's from the Tzadshik HaNegev. If you want to rectify it, then there's a way of doing it. Olay Nala V'yarashnu Eisa. We have to conquer, and we will conquer. We can use in different methods of how to do it. Rebbe Shazalofen, Azif will be on the Hashemim. I don't know if I should have said this right thing about Meshul Rabbeinu. And take back my words. Of course, Meshul Rabbeinu had to defend the Jewish word. I think I asked a question. He was driven by Yitzchak, Avram Avinu, Zankind. But here's Meshulam and the Jewish people. Of course, he had to defend the Jewish people. Chasvi Shalom, Batana Shredin. The Rebbe Shazalofen, Al Eden Zalzayin Guth, the Gashmis of Ruchnis, Gam Yochad, the Bruchnis, Gash Gam Yochad. Everyone should fill out the cup. Okay, you will be Am Shemim. Now, what I spoke tonight is very pertinent. It was on the spot. I hit the nail on the head. How do I know? I'm not a mashpia. I'm not your mashpia. Okay? I know it from life experiences. As I told you, what I deal with every day, my problems every day. So therefore, what you are just talking about. What I said tonight, you all know it's the truth. But the truth hurts. You don't want to accept it, so when you start thinking that's the truth, you say, maybe it's not, it doesn't apply in this case, it doesn't apply in that case. It doesn't really apply here, it doesn't apply in this case. He's Takarai, everyone says. And then some people will say, it's Takarai, but for me it's this thing. I used to say about myself, I know you're Takarai, but if I'll just, by the way, maybe 1 year I'll do it, and 1 year, you know, next year, then the year after. Okay? We have to know what I said, not because I said it, because it's the truth. It's the truth. So therefore, what do we have to do? How do we go about it? We have to know that we all have a kavana. Now, it could be that I'm going to finish in another 2 minutes. I'll finish. The way how to do it is, as we said. No. I'm finishing. Just finishing off. We have to have a plan of action. The plan of action is as follows. Whatever Yid has to do, we have to try to do it. Now, it could be we can't do everything at once. Like, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, you all go on Alt Amif Soyin, yeah? You all go on. It's very easy to tell other people what to do, you know? Come to the person and say, put on film. God, what's in the machine? Is that religious? Film. It came off the moon, you know? Put on film. Nowadays, I mean, the Rebbe made it that the Mifsoyim are part of the norm. I'm not religious. So what do you say? I'm not religious. So what do you say to him? No.
You don't have to be religious.
All you have to do is being Jewish. But then sometimes the person says, I'm afraid that I'll become religious. They said, don't worry. You don't have to be afraid of becoming religious. The main thing, what you're trying to tell the person like this is whether he's religious, not religious, or anything. You're doing one mitzvah. And the person says, me? I'm not religious. I don't keep, I don't do it. We're saying, it's nishnegeh, you do one mitzvah. That itself is a mitzvah achas. As I told you, the Rebbe once stressed it. Kainalei, praklet achas. Even one mitzvah. That means this is what negeh to us. If we think to ourselves like this, olay na'alavir ashneis, then all areas what we have to do. First, to give, put it bluntly. You have a seder the whole day. I remember when I was in Shiva, I could never learn the whole day. Go Mashiach. Now, think like this. If you don't think, eventually the tachlis hakavon is to learn a whole day, but if you can't do it right, you know what it is, you say, not yet. Not to say that give you a shush, you can muck around, you know, a half a day. It means to say is you try as much as you can. If today you're going to learn a half an hour, even a half an hour. Then tomorrow you're going to learn 35 minutes. Then the next week you're going to learn 40 minutes. And next week, whatever it is. You know that you have to do it. And then you use the means of ways of how to do it. So you think to yourself, "Is I know that I have to learn. The Ketachos HaKavanos, I have to learn a whole day." Okay, now maybe if I'm not ready to learn a whole day, the Vailas. I'm not going to muck around. Maybe I'll ask Rishus from the Anhola. He will never give it to you, Rishus, anyway. He's not to learn a whole day. But anyways. But what he means to say is you try to, let's say, put the emphasis, you learn Asmoda for a certain period of time. The rest of the time, maybe you learn not with so much Asmoda, whatever. But if you are going in you're going in the right direction, that's the thing is, you say, you start with one thing at a time. You know you can do it, and you don't have to think, you don't have to think you have to do everything right away. Like as I said, a person thinks a whole day, if he thinks when he wakes up in the morning, he has to learn a whole day, he says, hey, babe, a whole day is going to be taught. You don't think like that. You take each time, each 5 minutes at a time. The same thing when you learn the Black Gemara, you don't have to think, I have to finish the whole block right away. You take one line at a time. If you see, if a person is serious and he tries, the Friedrich Rebbe, I saw a letter, Friedrich Rebbe was once writing a letter, he said to certain Balabatim, they don't want to learn Shunims. You know why? Because they've lost hope. They lost hope, that's not Shaykh to me. Or they think they have to know the whole Torah. No! Each Bokhar and each in his Indian, he is in Yeshiva, he can gain treasures. And there's plenty of treasures which he can gain. And he can gain so much treasures. If you try, you can, your gaita umatosa. Lo your gaita. If a person did not toil, he won't find. If he says your gaiti, v'loy matzosi al pam. If you toil, then matzosi. And toiling, as I said, there's different ways of toiling. Even if maybe you can't overdo it, so then you can do it. That's why you can talk to the anhola, to the mashmir, whatever it is, explain to you how to do it. But we have to know one thing. We have to keep on trucking. If we know that, and we go in stages, then the Rebbe shall help. Everyone should be masnich and all the inyan which you have to do. Yifol be ba'ashemim. The Rebbe shall help. All the inyan and tozayim. The kashmir of ruchnis gam yochad. And Rabbi Morozov is going to the Rebbe. And the bezicha, the nems, the nemen from the Allah. Mishpoyim, mishmon, v'shem imam. La'askirim alat. Alatziyin, yeah, you're taking all the names of the Bachim. Did you think of it? When you're going, before you go, you write down all the names. Shmom, v'sheimimom. Okay, that's what you have to do. L'chaim, l'chaim. Chia di neinu, merim rabbeinu, malach mishiach. Amen.